When the Buddha gave up his long search, sat under a tree, and eventually saw Venus rise in the east, he had a realization. And what he realized was the truth of constant change and the ungraspable nature of this life we all live. The Buddha had no way of knowing what Venus was, and yet he saw it clearly, and the experience changed his life. He had been searching for why there was suffering, but what he discovered was the cause of suffering, its source. What could be more obvious than impermanence? Everything that arises passes away. It also means that nothing remains the same. From moment to moment, ongoing change is the foundation of all that exists. The Buddha realized this and saw that much of mankind's distress is due to our ignorance of and resistance to the fact that nothing can be grasped or held on to. He didn't discover a new theory. His awakening was the embodiment of this fundamental truth. As Dogen said, impermanence itself is Buddha nature. So the Buddha's realization and teaching begins with impermanence and ongoing change. Some people will never hear this teaching. Some will hear it and yet still cling to self-centeredness. And there are those who hear this teaching and in recognizing its truth, strive to appreciate and let go of the attachments that cause suffering for themselves and others. We are fortunate to have this opportunity and ability through our simple and silent and sincere effort and silent effort to realize now what the Buddha realized so many years ago. In looking up, we too can see the morning star exactly as the Buddha saw it. It's there. We just need to look. When we truly appreciate impermanence, we realize non-self. This doesn't mean we don't function as individuals. Our functioning requires a sense of self. It does mean that we don't exist as separate, fixed selves. Nothing exists as a separate, fixed entity. If we look for the self, it's nowhere to be found. Our sense of self turns out to be just another experience. And like all experience, it's a process of constant change and dynamic flow. It's a product of what we call dependent arising. In realizing non-self, we become free to be who we are, which is the Buddha nature that pervades everywhere. So when we realize the fundamental truth of no fixed separate self, we see that all beings and all things arise and pass within an interdependent and constantly changing universe. Upon what, then, can we hang our regrets? Where can we lay our blame? Where is the solid foundation where we can stand our ground and make our demands on this life? Where even is the I that insists on such things? From our practice of being present and open to this moment as it is, we can realize what the Buddha realized. That we and the whole universe are not two, and that the awakened way is always realized right here now. So the Buddha saw that our unwillingness to appreciate the impermanent nature of this universe is the source of our suffering. The word he used is dukkha, which derives from an ancient Aryan and refers to a poorly fitting wheel axle. A wheel out of alignment results in a bumpy ride. We can't always avoid the ruts and potholes of life. When we grow old, we get sick, we die. We can't hold on to what we desire, and sometimes we get what we don't want. But through our practice effort, we are realigning the wheel of our perception. And no matter how rough the road gets, our journey on the path of our life can continue unhindered. We are free to appreciate and enjoy the wondrous scenery. Another way to look at dukkha is to see it as the stress caused by dissatisfaction with our life. In our practice, it's helpful to become aware of the body-mind experience of this stress and to see the causal relation between it and our dissatisfaction. We don't get what we want, or we get what we don't want. When we say life as it is, the only teacher, do we see the profound truth in this statement? People are sometimes disappointed to learn that practice isn't going to fix their life. It does, however, teach us how to fully experience and live our life and be satisfied in the midst of not being satisfied. So I'll conclude by saying that this is not some philosophical theory. An intellectual understanding of this teaching isn't necessary. Through our Zazen and daily practice effort, we experience directly the fundamental truth of impermanence, non-self, and the dissatisfaction that results from our attempt to grasp the ungraspable and cling to what is impermanent. And what we realize is the joyous freedom that always was and is our true nature. Thank you.